Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
Good to be here with you today, Beacon Church. My name's Josiah, and it's cool because most places I go, I'm the only Josiah, but there's multiple of us here, which is very cool. You guys can be seated. Oh, I forgot to bring my iPad. Yeah, thank you, darling. And this is my lovely wife, Olivia. Everybody calls her Liv. And can we just thank the worship band as well? Dean and Bella. I love this church. I love you guys. And you may not know me, and that's okay. You can tell maybe already by the voice, I am from America. Oh, thank you very much. I wasn't sure. Sometimes that gets around to booze, you know what I mean? I have been in Australia for almost 20 years. But I sound like I just got here yesterday. Except for to my friends and family back in America, they think I've turned full Aussie. When I talk to them on the phone and I talk like this, they're like, you sound so much like an Australian. And so, you know, there you go. But we pastor in the country music capital of Australia. At least that's what we like to say it is. Tamworth, New South Wales. Anybody here been to Tamworth before? Okay, yeah, a few of you. Awesome. Country Music Festival happens there every year. We were pastoring on the Gold Coast. We were part of the Gold Coast. And I can vouch everything that Az has told you, it's true. Except for ministry was already all over this couple and already all over these guys. I was maybe just the one who just went, hey, Az, have a crack. And these guys from day one of when they stepped in onto the team there at Gold Coast Church just made a huge difference. And to see what you guys have done in this place, my goodness. This is an amazing church. And I'm going to say this, like, I'm not like Mr. Go Travel Preacher all the time. Like, I'm a professional circuit preacher, okay? So I don't get up somewhere different every other weekend and go, oh, this is an amazing church. And I'm not saying people do that. Don't get me wrong, but this isn't just a speech, all right? This isn't a pre-prepared thing that, you know, I just say, you are truly in an amazing church with amazing pastors who, when they say they have a heart for you, and when they say they have a heart for this city, and when they say that they have a vision and they believe in you and they think that God has big things for you, they really, really do mean it as well. The heart and the authenticity of you guys always, but it's amazing how God just multiplies. Like, man. And I want to talk about this morning, there's really a spirit in this place. There's a spirit of the next in this place. And it's so good. I love your name, Beacon, because it's a beacon, a light into the darkness. And you guys are definitely called to be that. And if you don't know Jesus in this place, he is the light that we're talking about. He is the beacon. And you're going to have an opportunity today to come to him. And it is a light that shines in the darkness. But I believe this church, too, is just a beacon in so many other ways, too. You're a light that's shining forward as well, too. You're a beacon. It's the light that shines in. And I also just see, you know, one of the things, because I live out in the country, you got to have driving lights. And if you don't know what those are, it's high beams on steroids. You want to be able to flick a switch and it just goes boom, like daytime, just lights up everywhere. You want people to be blinded. You want if there's a car too close to you when you turn it on for it to just melt from the heat of all of the LEDs that get turned on. And you guys are a light shining forward as well, too. I was going to say this maybe later, but, you know, I believe that God is positioning you guys for influence to shine the light forward as well, too. There are churches that are going to come in to this place and go, how are you doing what you do? And you're going to shine a light, say this, and you're going to go, well, this is just what we do. And they're going to go, well, you don't understand. This is, we got to catch this. And I actually see influence around even just our nation and even just the city. I see influence in business, not just churches coming, but businesses, politicians, people going, what are you? I have to catch something in this place. God's positioning you guys for influence. He has already. And there's, if you don't know it, if you don't feel it, if you're new today or if you're whatever, there is a next in this place that God wants you to catch. You got to be ready for the next no. You got to be ready for the next. A few years ago, I was traveling back to America for a conference with actually a mutual friend of ours, another guy by the name of Aaron, actually. And I think you guys will know which Aaron I'm talking about. And we were going through customs in America. And if you've never gone through immigration and customs in America, they're pretty serious. They're always really serious to me. My wife is Australian. My kids are Australian. And obviously, I'm from there originally. But you would think I'd be the one that they'd be like, right this way, pass on through. Yes, America. All right, go ahead, come in. But I'm always the one that they have all the questions for. Because in the American mind, they go, why would you live anywhere else? You're suspicious. This is the land of the free, home of the brave, best country on planet Earth, world champions. Woo! World champions didn't play anyone else, but that's okay. They're always like, why are you here? Why are you whatever? So they're fairly intense to me, but I was traveling through with Aaron, and actually this time I got right through it. But I realized I'd made a mistake. Aaron had traveled some, but not a lot. And I didn't prepare him for what was next at the end of the journey when we got there, when we got to immigration and customs, because we went through, we had to go through separately. I go through, I see him over there, I see him going through the queue, I see him talking some more. I say, this is taking a while, like this should have been done by now. And all of a sudden, I see two men with guns come and take my friend Aaron and then take him away. And we were landed in Houston. We were going on to Virginia Beach. And I was excited because we had about a 4.5 hour layover in Houston. We didn't eat on the plane because I said, man, don't eat this airplane food. We're going to have some Texas barbecue in Houston. So I'm standing there and thinking like, okay, he was just going to come through in a couple of, but he doesn't come through. And then about just a minute or two later, somebody else with a gun comes along and is like, because it's America, they're all got them. But he's like, you're going to need to move along. And I said, well, but my friends has gotten, they're like, you can't go back through. You just have to move down this way. So I go down around the corner, back down this escalator. And I'm down at the bottom of the escalator thing, just standing there and thinking, Aaron's going to come through any minute. And then about 5, 10, 15 minutes pass. And I get on my phone. I call everybody. I call my wife. I'm back home. I'm like, immigration has taken Aaron. I don't know if he's arrested or he could be on a plane back home. I have no idea what's happened. He was talking. Men came and took him away. I don't know what to do. Just pray. So we got the prayer team on it. Everybody was thinking. And then an hour passes. 2 hours pass. 3 hours pass. And it's getting to the point now where it's going to be like, okay, not only are we not eating, like I'm going to have to run to catch this plane. And I said to my wife on the phone, I said, if it were anybody else, I would leave them. And I'd think they're an adult. They can figure it out. But I feel like, you guys know, I feel like if I leave Aaron here, do you remember that Tom Hanks movie many years ago where he was like a guy stuck in the airport forever? That would be Aaron. He would just still be there to this day. And so I was like, I can't leave Aaron. This is where he'll be. And so then bang, here he comes at the top of the escalator and we run to the plane and I'm like, I called him an idiot and we ran as fast as we could and we got on the plane. We sat on the plane and I said, Aaron, what happened? And he said, well, I just answered their questions and then they took me away. And I said, well, what do you mean? And he said, well, they said, what's the purpose of your visit? And he said, because we were there for a conference, but we were also having like a couple of days just off. And he goes, well, a conference and kind of like holidays and just some stuff. And they were like, okay, where are you staying while you're here? And he goes, because I told him all this stuff, but I hadn't prepared him for what's next. He said, I'm not really sure. I think a place called Virginia, is that a place? And then in America, they have a visa waiver program thing you have to go in and online and pay for. And it says on it, you can't have anyone else do this for you. You must have done it. And I did it there with him because he was having trouble doing it, you know, a few weeks before. And I told him, when they ask you, tell them you did this. And they asked him, did you do the visa waiver? And he's like, the visa waiver? And then they said, okay, is this your bag? It gets better. is this your bag? It was a bag he had borrowed from his mother-in-law. So he says, no. And they were like, okay. And then just to take it up another level, has this bag been in your possession the whole time? Well, he thought in his wonderful head, it was in the boot of the car for a little while. So he answered, no, it hasn't been. Did you pack it yourself? Molly packed it. So he said, no, I didn't. And about this time, men with guns came and took Aaron away. And we missed out on Texas barbecue and almost missed out on our whole trip because he wasn't ready for the next. You got to be ready. And you guys have, there's a spirit of the next in this place. There's a spirit in this place that if you catch it, if you're in on it, God's going to do amazing things in this church, but in your life as well too. And I want to share with you a scripture to start out with. God likes the new. He loves the next. He's always a God of the new. In Ezekiel chapter 11, when we moved to Tamworth, because we were pastored on the Gold Coast for a while, and then we moved to Tamworth, and you know, we went, it was really a full reset. The church on the Gold Coast was multiple services and blah, 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 all that stuff. And then Tamworth, oh, we hardly had multiple people. It was a big change. But God gave us this scripture in Ezekiel 11, 19 to 20. Says, and I will give them one heart and a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my rules and obey them. And they shall be my people and I will be their God. You know, you guys are moving. You're in a next. There's a next in front of you. You're going to have a new container, a new building that you're working on. And that's going to be an incredible thing. But there's a new inside of you now. Right here, right now. And I want to talk about and actually look at a surprising fact you might find from the Bible, something that circles around Jesus' ministry a lot. I want to look at the idea of new wine. Religious trigger warning. Okay. A friend of mine in Bible college said to me he was going to start a winery and put on the bottle of the wine WWJD. You remember WWJD? But he was going to say, underneath that, it was going to say, what would Jesus drink? Religious trigger warning. There you go. New wine. And you know, Jesus' first miracle is turning water into wine. And if I were writing this story, I wouldn't have written it that way. I would have made it a resurrection from the dead, probably. Or maybe a resurrection of about 50 people from the dead at once. Like he just would have stood in front of it and been like, rise! And then all these people, would have been like, are you not entertained? And then the story would have went from there. Jesus' first miracle is to keep a wedding feast going and turning water into wine. God has new wine for you today. He has something new he's doing, and I'm getting ahead of myself. Why do we need new wine? See, when Christ comes into your life, he makes you new. He forgives you. He brings you to himself, and that work is done. But also, there is a work where Christ, he doesn't just want to, like, upgrade you or give you a coat of paint. And then what he wants to do is totally recreate you. It's Genesis chapter 1 all over again in your life. But the cool thing about following Christ, and this is why we will be able to be constantly and eternally enthralled and worshiping him, is this new creation process isn't a one and done, and then we look back for the rest of eternity and go, man, wasn't that something? God is forever the creator, forever making new, forever bringing about what's next in your heart, in your life, and what's going on. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. This is beyond just a change of circumstance or just a new belief system. It's a total change of status. It's not just like, a dog becoming a bigger dog. This is like a dog gets transformed into a unicorn. Like, it's a totally different thing. And there's a process in that, that, you know, Genesis 1 tells us the story of the creation of the world, but it also gives us sort of a blueprint of how creation works, how the work of God is working in your life. And you might find yourself somewhere in this. Have you ever noticed in Genesis 1 at the very beginning, it says God created the heavens and the earth. And then it says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. I used to read that, and I think, God, did you mess up on your first try? Because it's like, wait a minute. Because, you know, if think about it for a second. God could have just said, everything, everywhere, all at once, be made now. Bang. And then there it was. But it says there's a creation, and then there's this formless period then. And then God begins to speak and ordain and order where everything is. Creation has happened, but then God says, let there be light. And then he starts to divide things and name things and put things in their place. And I really feel like for you, that I'm going to skip back. In the creative process that God is working in your life, it's the same thing. We often expect if God is doing something new, it's just going to be bang, everything everywhere all at once. I wake up tomorrow, everything's different. But actually, God declares the new, and then it kind of goes into this like formless phase. You see it again and again and again and again in Scripture. God, Jesus is baptized. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. And then what happens? He goes straight out and just rocks. No, he goes out into the wilderness, is tempted of the devil. There's this formless wilderness period. And then he goes out and begins his ministry, and he calls his disciples. He begins to name. Everything starts to get into place and into where it goes. And it's the same thing in God's creative work in your life, in this church. He declares the new, and then you might find yourself in the formless period, but don't think that God has forgotten or that the new isn't here. Because God, what happens then is then God begins to speak. It's not you and I that speak. God begins to speak and say, right now, this is here. This is there. I'll give you an example. This church has been believing God for a building for a very long time. And there's been a phase, and there's been that. And God is now, you're into the season, I believe, as a church. I'm speaking this prophetically now. You're in a season where God is speaking and ordering and placing things that for a long time have been formless, and the Spirit of God's been hovering over it. And you're in a time, and you're in a moment now where things are coming into order. Instead of just being like one day somewhere, God's like, this address here, and this place here, and these pastors here, and you there. Catch into what God is doing. And it's the same thing in your life. If you find yourself in the formless phase, don't think that God isn't working. If you find yourself in the in-between, and what you've got to do too in those times is do not receive the temptation to then, which is what Satan came to Jesus in the wilderness and tried to do, to try to then, you go ahead and take control and you do what you think is best. No, Jesus, even in the wilderness, said, no, I'm going to live by the word of God alone. He's the one who speaks. All right, so we I need to get going. We have to have new wine. Mark chapter 2, verse 22, I'm going to look at in a moment. God wants to open a fresh bottle today. God wants to open a fresh bottle every day. See, wine, once it's opened, begins the immediate process of being oxidized, which means oxygen's getting to it. The atmosphere, literally, is getting to it. And eventually that atmosphere will turn that wine to vinegar. What smelled sweet and fruity will eventually smell sour. What tasted smooth and pleasant will now become harsh as the atmosphere and the environment gets to it as time. So this is why, see, you and I can't live on what was opened yesterday. You and I can't live on what was opened last week. The literal environment will oxidize what has happened. God has new wine for you every day. There's new freshness for you every day. And this is, I'm taking up too much time, but having too much fun. You guys are so easy to preach to. This is dangerous. You know, one of the things God showed me one time in his, because it really bothered me. And you know, if you wrestle with things in Scripture, don't just go meh or just ChatGPT. Wrestle with it. And it was, why, God, why did you turn water into wine? And one of the things that that God showed me one time is, you see, when Jesus is around in your life, what he does is he takes water and turns it into wine. What do I mean by that? He takes our everyday, our just going to work, or just looking after the kids, or just cooking dinner, And in him, for his glory, it becomes not just water. It becomes sweet. It becomes wonderful. It becomes a joy. It becomes something that we're doing for the glory of God. It becomes something that's filled with life. See, when Jesus is at your party, when Jesus is at your wedding feast, when Jesus is in your life, the water of your life turns to wine. You rock up to work and you're happy to be there, and everyone looks at what's wrong with you. And it's like, you don't understand. Jesus has just turned my water into wine. The world will turn your wine into water. What should be awesome, what should be great because of comparison, because of all the different things that this world, the world, what should be awesome, you could be right in the middle of the most amazing thing and it's just water. It strips the gratitude, it strips the beauty of life. I believe Christians should be the most alive human beings on planet Earth. That even if they didn't, the water into wine that is our life, that is our walk in the Spirit, that is our walk in God, should itself raise questions about what is wrong with you. All right, I'm going to get going. Mark 2:22, Jesus says this: no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is destroyed, and so are the skins. But new wine is for fresh wineskins. Jesus says to have new wine, you got to have new wineskins to us. And this means that there is a newness. And this is not about progressivism or a new age or how relevant or cool or hip you are. I've had to give up being hip a long time ago. But when you look at the whole context, you can understand what Jesus is talking about. So we're going to go to verse 18. It says, now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. And people came and said to him, why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in that day. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If he does, the patch tears away from it, the new from the old, and a worse tear is made. Verse 22, and no one puts new wine into old wine skins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is destroyed, and so are the skins. But new wine is for fresh wine skins. So actually, Jesus is answering a question about fasting. And I believe in prayer and fasting. I do. But I also believe in prayer and feasting.
Yeah, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ez. I knew there was a reason I felt so at home here. Yeah. Fasting, you know, fasting was kind of worn as a badge of honor, and it still is, and I believe in it. And, you know, our flesh needs sometimes to be reminded, like, hey, I'm not in charge. But I'll just say this. In the Old Testament, and how good is God? He's like, seven times a year, I've got these things I want you to do. And one of them is a fast, and the other six are feasts. Look it up, Leviticus 16. He says, six times a year you've got a feast, one time a year national fast. But what these guys had done and take the one thing, the one time a year, and probably out of sincerity, probably out of a hunger, probably out of at the beginning, like a, we need what God has next, they had taken one bit and made an entire thing about them. And what happens is Jesus is not bagging out fasting. He's not bagging out that intensity side of things, but he's calling them from the burnout of religion back into the beauty of relationship with him. And we can think often when God's going to do something new or something next. And I just want to speak this to you guys as you're going into this incredible new future. Don't think it's exactly as it is now, just with something else bolted on. Oh, everything will be exactly as it is now. We'll just have a different building. No, God is going to do something totally new and totally different. And you need to prepare your hearts to be ready for it, because it's going to be amazing. But I can tell you this, a lot of us, we think we want change. We think we want what's next. We think, but what we really want is everything exactly the same, just different outcomes. But God will always do a different means, a different way, a different process. He'll change things around. And if you catch it, it's beautiful and wonderful. If you miss it, you'll be like the Pharisee and want to put on the cross what God is actually doing. So he's calling you and me from the burnout of religion back into the beauty of relationship with him. He illustrated with a wineskin. You know, a whole goat skin was fresh, was was used and freshly wine was poured into it for the fermentation process. And the wineskin would get stretched and expanded because of the carbon dioxide released in the fermentation process. And that would be, as the sugars are consumed by the yeast and things like that, there's a release of CO2. There's a new stretch. And a new wineskin has the capacity to be stretched. It has the capacity for expansion. And we start our life as a new wineskin. You started maybe your Christian journey, you're a new wineskin. And it may have come, though, from being more naive than trust. There's a difference. You know, sometimes we look at a fresh faith and we say, oh, I wish I was more like that. But sometimes we've let life and our experiences and even our disappointments and things like that, what we thought we had trust, but it was really just naivety. And now there is something powerful when knowing and being through what we've been through, we still choose trust then. Not out of a naivety, not out of a silliness, but because we know God is good and he's not finished with me. He's not finished with us. There's a stretch that God is doing. And just a little litmus test to see where your wineskin is at. When your wineskin is in the right place, the stretch is exciting. When maybe it could use a little work, the stretch becomes scary, too hard, impossible. I don't know. No, I don't. I'm not interested. I want to encourage you to be excited in the stretch. Be excited in the stretch. Because you might think, here's the thing about the stretch. You'd be thinking, but I don't know where this is going. But I don't know how this works out. I don't have the ABC 1, 2, 3. There isn't a YouTube video that I can watch where the guy is like, 5 things in the stretch. Make sure you stick around for number 5. It'll blow you away at the beginning. I don't know. And I feel like at any moment, like, what's happening? Like, this is a stretch. Like, what's going on? This isn't comfortable. And what you have to do is, in faith, normalize the stretch. See, the enemy wants to come to you and paint a picture in your mind where it's like, if you were really walking in what God had for you, you would have that. You'd wake up in the morning, feel like, I got all the plates spinning. I got all the ducks in a row. Everything is good. I never have any bad thoughts. I never have any temptation. I'm never wondering, how is God going to do this? I am just a man of faith. I'm the woman of faith. When the reality is, that is not what walking in God looks like. And everybody that he comes into their life, he messes up their world. God's not going to give you more than you can handle. He totally does. It's a scripture taken out of context. It says he will not allow you to be tempted with sin, that you can't resist that temptation of sin. So yeah, there is no sin. You can't just go, I just couldn't help it, is what it means. Like, no, the Holy Spirit power than you, the risen Christ, is greater than the power of sin. Full stop. But the call that God has for you is way more than you can handle. Not even just like a little bit. Not like, oh, you know, it's about 10% too much. You're going to look at it and you're going to go, what? He will definitely give you more than you can handle. And we need to normalize that. Yes. We need to normalize when he comes to Abraham. He's like, leave everything. You're comfortable. It's all great. Leave everything and go to the land. I'll show you. Like, I'll tell you when we get there. The keyboards can join me. I'm going to finish up. So what am I saying today? I believe there is a new wineskin today. When you get stretched, because here's the thing, maybe we've gotten hurt, and even in our lives, you can get hurt so many times, or you can have a past story that's filled with so much hurt that you feel like your capacity to love, you just can't love anymore. It's burst. You get disappointed so much that you can't contain hope anymore. You felt so much anxiety that you feel like your capacity for peace is gone. You've been so mistreated that there's no ability to contain kindness. We get stretched, we got burst, and now what we don't realize is that God has a new creation. He has a new wineskin for you today. It's not a 0 and 1 binary, once off or done, that anyone who comes in Christ is a new creation, that there is a new creation available for you today. And when those things happen to us, and they happen to all of us, from the pastor to everyone, when they happen to all of us, what the enemy wants to come is bring around our heart is cynicism. What God wants to come and bring into you and I's heart today is a heart of surrender. That it didn't work out how I thought, or it didn't this, or it didn't, but God is good, and that he has good plans for me, and wherever he's going, that's where I'm going to follow. You see, I believe there's a new wineskin today of simplicity by the Spirit of God. You guys are going into new things. There's a lot of work to be done. Beck's like, tell me about it. There's a lot of things to organize. There's a lot of stuff, and there's going to be more people. There's going to be more influence. There's going to be more things. There's going to be a lot happening. But I believe that the newness that Christ calls us to, sometimes we think, okay, as this is going, I got to get more and more on top of it. More and more, I got to know everything. More and more, I got to, instead of following the Savior, be the Savior. When God is bringing you to simplicity in him. Simplicity. It's not irresponsibility. It's a simplicity, a surrender. Because you see, the wine, as it pushes, it shapes the vessel, not the other way around. I found in my life, I would prefer grape juice, just all sweet all the time. But God is bringing fine wine out of us, and the sugars have to be consumed. The things have to, and as he's moving, what we've got to be is a people who is soft. And that's why I'll go back to the beginning in Ezekiel, where he said, instead of stone, I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. A heart that moves, that's pliable, that's soft. That's why Proverbs says, guard your heart with all diligence. You know, some of us, we need to turn off some of the noise on all these screens that we stare at all the time and just spend some time in surrender. Spend some time in silence. Spend some time in God's word, just to remind ourselves that all this noise, all of these ads, all these things that we're told we need all the time for happiness and fulfillment and all this and that. I have one thing that is necessary. As Jesus said, I have food that you don't know about. I have my Father God. There's a new heart for you today. As life gets more complex, it doesn't have to be more complicated. I believe God's calling you and I into simplicity of faith with him and in him. There's newness. The next is here. It's right now. God is wanting to recreate you and me today. Let's pray. Father in heaven. Oh, Lord, the spirit of the next is in this place. And God, I just want to glorify you for that. Oh, Lord. This is a thin place. This The gap between heaven and earth here feels so small. So Lord, I thank you for what you've done. I thank you for your work in this people, in this church, and in them, not just as a collective, but as individuals. But God, I thank you that you are calling us again into the next. And in our church, but then also in our lives. So Lord, right now, every part of our heart that is not pliable, that is maybe hard or dry or just old and needs refreshed. Right now, God, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, would you refresh us today? God, soften us towards what is next and soften us to a place of surrender. God, we repent of cynicism. We repent of God, the cynicism that's wanted to come around our hearts. And God, we simply open up ourselves to surrender today. Lord, have your way. Do what you will. We will follow you. God, give us ears to hear your voice as you command and speak, as you did in Genesis chapter 1, of what goes where and where is what, and you name and you do. God, I thank you for it. We receive today a new spirit and a new wineskin. Thank you, God. Still praying this morning, if you're in this place and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, just before we go, and I've gone a little over time, and I thank you for your patience with me, but I just want to do this for just a minute. It won't take long because Jesus, as I said, he's right here. He's waiting. And if you've never surrendered your life to him, and that's what I'm talking about today, is becoming a Jesus apprentice. Going, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. In John 14:6, it's saying, okay, instead of being whatever else, being my master, and I'm me apprenticing that, I am an apprentice of Jesus. Show me how to live. Show me how to love. Show me how to be a human being. If that's you today and you say, oh, Jesus, pardon me, be my master and I'll be your apprentice. I want you to just pray a simple prayer with heads bowed, eyes closed. And I would love everybody to pray this with me out loud. It's not going to take long. Doesn't have to take long. I want you to say these words after me. Everyone, please say, Jesus, I give you my life. Jesus, I surrender. If you're praying that prayer this morning, Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I would in no way cast them out. Jesus said, if you come to me, I'll give you rivers of living water. I'll show you what it means to be alive. I won't just give you a drink, but I'll give you a river from the inside that you can drink from every single day. And so today, as you surrender your life to him, I want you to know that Jesus does not, your cry to him does not come to deaf ears, but as you surrender your life to him, he says, I give my life to you. So if that's you in this place and you say, I'm doing that today. Maybe for the first time. Maybe you're coming back to him. Maybe your life has gone cold with Jesus. And you say, no, I'm coming back. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I would love to just pray for you before we go. Last thing I'll do, won't do a big long prayer, but I would just be so honored in this moment to pray for you. If you say, yeah, that's me. I'm making that decision today. So just in this moment, would you just say, yeah, Josiah, pray for me, just by simply slipping up your hand. As I say, maybe you've done this before and you're coming back to him. Maybe you've never done anything like this before, but you'd say, yeah, Josiah, that's me today. Just as I look across, just want to pray. I'm going to pray one way or another because I know in my heart there are people here in this place that this is you. But I just would love to know it's you before I pray. Just going to wait for a moment. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in every heart in this place. God, all of us today have surrendered to you, but God, I pray for these, specifically these people who are turning back to you or coming to you for the first time. I thank you that sin is forgiven, the old is gone, the new has come, that Jesus, as you have entered into their life, you recreate, you make all things new, that God, life has come where there was death, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, can we celebrate what God's doing in people's hearts today?
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.